enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. It's Rob and Sandra from My Wife the Dietitian, and this is Nutrition Nuggets.
Yes, and today we're going to take a question from a listener. It's something that I hear a lot from other people too, and we did an episode number 16 called Sleep Problems and Diet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the question. I used to sleep like a log and I had no issues whatsoever. But now in midlife, my hormones are changing and sleep is becoming a problem. I go to sleep and wake up and can't get back to sleep. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, and that question's from Rob on Vancouver Island.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, you?
Oh, yeah. I confess.
Oh, okay. Is that happening with you too?
I don't know. Doesn't everyone have sleep problems?
At some point, yes. I think most people do go through periods of time when they can have problems with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being human.
It's one of those things. I think I made a reference in that episode 16 about how when people get older, that's like the breakfast time conversation about how everyone slept.
Yeah.
You know, you come downstairs for breakfast and you're like, oh, how'd you sleep? It's like, it's like a big deal when you get older, right?
Absolutely. Well, sleep is so important and it's essential for our health and well-being, and it helps with our preventing diseases, actually. It helps with preventing diabetes and heart disease and just overall inflammation. So any of those inflammatory problems that people have that could lead to diabetes or eventually dementia, like Alzheimer's. So there's lots of reasons why we want to try to get a better sleep if you're having problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's lots of things you can do in your lifestyle to help with sleep before using sleep medication, but you might need to go to a sleep clinic or talk to your doctor about the problems with your sleep if it's becoming an issue and affecting your day-to-day living.
Right.
So with our sleep, we go through sleep cycles every night. We should typically go through about 5 sleep cycles every night, and each sleep cycle takes about 90 minutes. And the stages 3 and 4 are where you have the deep sleep and REM sleep. And they're super important because they help with body repair and help with consolidation of memory. So storing, you know, having the short-term memory, things that happened to you during the day, and at night getting that deep sleep, it actually helps with storing those short-term memories into long-term memory. So if you're having memory problems, like you're feeling like you forget where you put your keys, or you walk into a room and you're like, what? I forget what I was going to do, which I'm sure happens to a lot of us a lot of the time.
Yes and yes.
Or go to the store and you totally forget there was like a few things that you needed and you thought, oh, I don't need a list because it's just a couple or a few things.
Also, yes.
But you forget. Well, all these things, they're pretty typical memory issues, and they could be related to not getting enough deep sleep and not getting that restorative sleep that your body and your brain needs.
How do you know if you're getting deep sleep?
Well, if you wake up in the morning and feel rested and you have energy, then you are likely getting the sleep that you need.
Okay.
But I mean, it's hard to know for sure. There are like all those little devices that you can wear, watches or the little Oura rings that actually help show like how well you're sleeping. But don't rely on those. you use those. Sometimes I say, well, you look at that before you even determine how you're feeling in the morning.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's kind of the purpose of having it, isn't it? So that you can get some stats.
Yeah. But it's just how, you know, it's that balance of, do you need to know every detail, or can you listen to your body and try to get some sense from internal cues and what's going on with your health,
mm-hmm.
By how you're feeling. But yeah, so the other part that happens is the growth hormone is produced during sleep. And so we want to make sure that we're having that happen. So you're awake, then you go to sleep. You have the stage one is light sleep, stage one and two, and then deep is stage three, and then light, and then REM. So we want to make sure that we're having that cycle happen about five times in the night.
Exactly. REM sleep is where you're dreaming. And apparently, and this is according to my watch, because it monitors my heart rate and my movement and stuff during that stage, that's you're more awake during REM sleep. So if you get a lot of REM sleep, if you're dreaming all night, you're probably going to wake up feeling really tired because your brain has been busy all night long.
Yeah. And during your REM sleep, your blood pressure increases and actually you lose more weight in REM sleep because you're using more glucose and you're dreaming, your brain's creating the stories and filing all the short-term memory into long-term memory. And it's an important part of the night sleep and your muscles are paralyzed actually. So people sometimes wake up and they feel like they can't move and you feel like you're a prisoner, but it's because your body, you were in REM sleep.
It's probably why you have that dream where someone's chasing you and your legs don't move, or you can't like turn the key to get into your place to get away from them and you're paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's freaky.
It's so interesting. All the different
I don't like that dream.
I know. Yeah, I think there's themes, right, with dreams too. But okay, let's just stick to the question.
That's
the
next week's episode.
That's right. Yeah.
That'd be fun, actually, how your food affects your dreams. Yeah. I remember my mom always said, I used to eat like cheese and crackers before I went to bed and I'd have dill pickle on it sometimes. And she always said, oh, don't eat dill pickles. It'll give you nightmares. So I wonder if I'm sure there's food and dreams. We should do that sometime. We'll look into that.
Yeah.
So that'd be a fun one.
That would be interesting. Yeah. And I mean, we're going to talk about a few things about food with sleep. And we did on episode 16, all about food. Because we talked about like turkey and tryptophan and making sure you're getting certain nutrients so that they're all integral in how we're sleeping. But I want to focus on five different things to try to make sure that you can get into a better sleep routine.
Sounds good.
So the first thing, and this is like the highest priority, and this is tricky for shift workers and people that wake up at different times every day, but it's more important that you wake up at the same time every day than going to sleep at night at the same time. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand what you mean. I don't know if it makes sense, though.
Okay, you understand what I mean?
Yeah, okay. I understand what you just said, but why is that? Why is it more important?
That's what the evidence says, is it's really important, even like on your weekend, if you work Monday to Friday and you have an alarm going off every day, and then you just push the snooze on the weekend, or you don't have an alarm that you sleep in, this is really disruptive to your daily rhythm and your daily sleep. They say even to think about when you wake up in the morning, you're preparing for the sleep that night.
Really? How's that?
Well, the things that you do during the day will affect your quality of sleep.
Oh, true. That's true. Yeah.
And everyone's got their own like kind of chronotype or kind of morningness or eveningness. Like if you're a night owl, that's a term. Or if you're like a morning person, and there's different, it's kind of a genetic predisposition. And it's interesting because depending on what your chronotype is, you have different needs in terms of when to go to bed and when to wake up.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, that explains why some people can get up at, you know, 5 a.m. and go run a half a marathon, and other people are in bed till 8 o'clock and, you know, and then they're up till 1 a.m.
Yeah. And I think
fully awake, you know, it's weird.
Exactly. And it changes through life too. I mean, kids go through, you know, morning when they're young, they're like morning people, they get up like crack of dawn. Whereas as their, you know, teens tend to sleep in, they stay up later and then get up later. And so it's really interesting. This whole thing about sleep is just so intriguing. But basically the daily wake up is really key. So keep that pretty consistent every day, probably like within an hour, like 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 or whatever it is for you, and try to be consistent with that. So that's really number one. Number two is, we talked about this on episode 16, is the caffeine. So because caffeine has a 6-hour to 8-hour half-life, it stays in your body for a long time. So your morning coffee could affect, you know, the afternoon, or if you have an evening coffee, that might affect your sleep. So basically stopping caffeine by 2 p.m. is a good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty obvious place to start. Or maybe it isn't. I mean, I think most people know that caffeine keeps you awake, but maybe they don't realize that, like, the 8-hour window part.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think, and the thing is too, this is also genetically predisposed. Like, some people have a gene that helps clear the caffeine more quickly. They have that in their liver. So that is going to impact their way their body deals with caffeine more than someone who doesn't have that gene. So kind of blanket statement is, try not to have a lot of caffeine in the afternoon or evening, because if you're having problems sleeping, then the caffeine might be contributing to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Even if you're someone who all your life, oh, I can drink coffee, no problem, I can drink caffeine and it doesn't bother me. But now if you're having sleep problems, that could be a contributing factor.
Exactly. And pop is the same. Pop has caffeine in it too, or sugar or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, similar effect from sugar, I would think.
Yeah. Well, the caffeine for sure. Now, the next one is alcohol. So stopping alcohol 3 hours before bedtime.
Yeah. See, that's a bit misleading, not misleading, but I'm sure other people think that, oh, if you want to sleep well, you know, have a shot of alcohol before you go to bed. Or if you've been drinking, you're going to sleep really well. And it's true and it isn't. You do fall asleep easily because of the depressive nature of alcohol, but the quality of your sleep isn't great.
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. I've learned from experience.
Well, alcohol is the most common and most popular sleep aid. People use it all the time to help them fall asleep.
And you even hear of like grandmas saying, oh, if you want your baby to fall asleep, you know, you give them a little bit of whatever on the end of your finger and they'll sleep like a baby all night long. Like, I don't know how wise that advice is, but obviously people did that or do that, or I don't know. It's
right.
It's a thing.
Right. Yeah. And it is, I mean, bottom line, alcohol is a poison to the body. And so, I mean, there's no level of alcohol that would actually help. I know it does help people fall asleep, but your quality of sleep will be affected. So it is suggested to limit an hour. It takes about an hour to digest an ounce. And alcohol does reduce or lower your immune function. So that's another reason that it might be good to kind of reconsider how much alcohol you're having, especially at night and especially before bedtime. Because usually, you know, if you're having a drink, it's at night mm-hmm. and it's before bed. And so if you can try to...
Do your drinking in the morning?
No. Stop alcohol 3 hours before bedtime.
Yeah, I guess dinner time, hey?
Yeah, I guess New Year's Eve would be an exception for many people.
Yeah, but I don't know that you're expecting to sleep really well on New Year's Eve anyway.
Right, yeah.
You wake up the next morning and it's like, what? I didn't have a good sleep? Weird.
That's right. Yes. And actually, this isn't on my list, but this is super key, is hydration. So to make sure you're getting enough fluid through the day. And when you do sleep overnight, it's like if you're sleeping 7 to 9 hours, you're losing probably about a liter of fluid.
Yeah.
And that's why when people step on the scale, they're like, oh, I always weigh myself first thing in the morning, because that's because you're dehydrated. That's why your weight is less than other mm-hmm. times in the day.
But, exactly.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say you're also losing fluid if you have to get up to go pee 4 times every night.
True. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Which is also going to affect your sleep.
Yeah, it does for sure. It affects those sleep cycles and getting back to sleep. Now, one other rule of thumb when you do, if you are waking up and you can't get back to sleep and you're tossing and turning and you have things to deal with, the last thing you should do is look at your phone, look at your computer, or turn on the TV. So do not use blue light in the middle of the night. It's so, you know what it does? It turns off the tap of your melatonin. So you have natural melatonin that happens when it gets dark out, and all humans have this. And because of our modern society and being inundated with technology and being able to be awake at all hours of the day and night, our circadian rhythms are really affected. And if we're on our devices and we're using the computer, watching media, whatever, up until we go to sleep, that's not helpful. We should actually be, it should be about 90 minutes before you go to sleep where you turn off your phone, you turn off your TV and any kind of devices and all the blue light. So to just kind of prevent that blue light from coming into your eyes. And so in the middle of the night, if you can't go back to sleep, you're tossing and turning, you could get up and read a book, or, you know, that might be helpful to nod back off. But to get on your phone or email or any of that kind of stuff, it's just so disruptive for the next day and night. So you're actually affecting your memory and your focus and your decision-making power for the next day and the potential of the next night's sleep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. Like, there's so many things that can disrupt our sleep, and hormones are a big part of that. So, you know, teenagers, like puberty, and then going through midlife when it's like perimenopause and then menopause and andropause for men, like these things can all be disrupted. The hormones can contribute to the disruption of our sleep.
So many factors.
It's so many factors. Yeah. Yeah. And we've already talked about trying to wake up about the same time most mornings, stopping the caffeine by 2 p.m., trying to stop alcohol 3 hours before bedtime, and stop exercise 4 hours before bedtime. That's the other rule of thumb.
Yeah, that's a tough one for some people because there's a lot of activities, especially if you work your regular like day job. That's when you do stuff is after work at nighttime. You know, you're out at the gym or you're playing in the rec league of whatever your chosen sport is. And when I used to play hockey, it was nighttime. It was like 9 o'clock at night and you're out just giving her. And I couldn't fall asleep for the life of me after that. And you're hungry and you want to, you know, like a lot of the guys bring like a case of beer into the locker room. So you're basically like doing all the wrong things. You're working out, you're drinking, you're eating, you're staying up late, you know, so yeah.
And it's interesting. I think when we're younger, it's like, oh, I'm young, it's fine, I'm resilient, whatever. But if you're having sleep problems and this is part of your routine, reconsider that and look at that because that might be impacting your sleep.
Mm-hmm. I did reconsider that. And that's why I don't play hockey anymore.
Well, I mean, you could play hockey, just maybe not like the times they have here. It's just so late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's it is kind of a injury prone.
Well, that's the other thing. It hurt too much. Yeah. I was sore for like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's any kind of exercise. I mean, people go to the gym, some like the 24-hour fitness or anytime fitness, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. For some people, I mean, that works if they're shift workers and, you know, they're awake other nights. And so it's like, oh, I'm just going to go work out. It's a good time for me. If you're having sleep problems, that might be aggravating it. It might make it worse. So if you're exercising like hardcore, close to bedtime, then rule of thumb is about 4 hours before you go to bed.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the last one is when you wake up in the morning, look outside. Like actually, if you have blackout curtains or if the place is really dark, just try to look outside because that actually helps stop the melatonin. So it helps you wake up by just... If there's a little bit of daylight, you can actually see the sun and that signals the brain that it's time to wake up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense. This is like a really old, like the way we were built originally back in the day when our bodies were all...
Yeah, how we evolved. Know? Exactly. There's little receptors in our eyes that for the daylight. So it's amazing. And it turns, it affects the brain and the melatonin production and turns it off. So there's all these little things that affect how well we sleep, our quality of sleep. There's a book called Power of When, and also Sleep Doctor, and that's by Dr. Michael Brose. And that's, he's got some really good tips and talks all about the chronotypes. And I like, there's other, a couple other things, like when you first wake up in the morning, you're mildly dehydrated. So take water, like when you first wake up, before you get out of bed, do some breathing. So just like center yourself and take about 10, 15, 20 seconds, just some deep breathing. Just to get that, you know, the bottom of the lung, you want to just like totally breathe out the old stale air and then look outside because that helps with signaling that it's morning time and then take some water. So, you know, a cup of water, just drink that down to help reestablish that hydration because you've probably lost a little bit of fluid over the night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good tips.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Well, hopefully, this answers the question for our listener who's...
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Rob plus thousands of others. Mm-hmm. Well, and this lady who sent me a message.
Yeah, right. It actually was someone else, but I just kind of tagged along.
Well, I think you've had similar issues, so yeah. I think the big thing is don't get on your phone and scroll and don't look at media if you're waking up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important. Important tips. Awesome. Well, if you have questions like our listener did, you can email us at mywifetherd@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, hearing your questions, hearing your comments, hearing any feedback you have about the show. It's all super helpful for us. You can also comment on our social media pages too. There's lots of areas there. You can drop a comment or even just a thumbs up, letting us know that way that you like what we're doing. It's, like I said, it's all helpful getting that feedback. We've got lots of information on our website as well. We've got a great blog with tons of different articles about all sorts of different things. A lot of our guests write articles for us too after they've been on the show. So if you haven't seen that or you haven't been there in a while, then check that out. There's probably some new things on there. And while you're on the website, you can join our newsletter. It's our weekly newsletter that we've started doing. It's an update of kind of what happened during the week, some links to different things, some updates of what's coming up, some weekly tips, a few other things from time to time as well. So that's something you can sign up for on the website. There's a button on every page. You should be able to find where to sign up for that. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you listen. We really appreciate if you can do that. It helps other people find the show. And like I said before, it helps give us some feedback about how we're doing and what direction we should be going with this stuff. So if you're able to do that, that would be amazing. And share the show too. Tell your friends, tell your family, whoever you think would appreciate the information that we're giving out every week. Just let other people know, you know, share the love, share the information. We all want to be healthy. So let other people know if you can. That would be amazing. And then Monday, what do we have Monday? It's called the Hunger Scale, I think we're going to be talking
the
about.
Hunger Games.
The Hunger Scale. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit last week. But yeah, we're going to be doing an episode on that. And what's that about, Sandra?
Oh, it's all about the hunger scale, listening to internal cues for satiety, for fullness. And yeah, we get into it.
We sure do. So that will be on Monday. So be sure to join us then. And that is it for this week. So we will be back Monday. And in the meantime, have a great week, everyone.
Have a great sleep, everyone.
Oh, that too. Yes.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.